It's time for prophesying. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to give a little opening here. Last week, we were in message 9, and this message number 10, is actually a continuation of message 9.
Got it.
Now, message 9 was entitled Enjoying Christ with God on the Ground of Oneness.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for oneness.
Amen.
Like Brother Tom just said, with oneness comes all the divine blessings that we enjoy. It's such an enjoyable table meeting this morning. We just enjoy this because of oneness.
Amen.
This week, the title is Avoiding Division.
Amen.
This versus the oneness that we keep.
Right.
And rejecting apostasy.
Amen.
Which is versus the faith.
Amen.
That we contend for.
Amen.
Right.
There's a lot in this message, so I hope that everyone will feel free to fill in lots of details, because there's a lot here. One verse I wanted to read to you, and then maybe we all read some verses together, but right. Deuteronomy 12:5 says, "But to the place which Jehovah your God will choose out of all your tribes to put his name, to his habitation shall you seek. And there shall you go.
Amen.
And there you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and the heave offering of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock.
Amen.
And there you shall eat before Jehovah your God. And
Amen.
You and your household shall rejoice in all your undertakings in which Jehovah your God has blessed you."
Amen.
Amen.
Maybe we can all read the verses on day one together. Just the sound of many waters here.
Wonderful.
That's from Deuteronomy 13,
Wonderful.
3 through 4. Ready? Go.
You shall not listen to the words of that prophet, that dreamer of dreams. For Jehovah your God is testing you in order to know whether you love Jehovah your God with all your heart and all your soul.
You shall
follow Jehovah your God,
and you shall fear him, keep his commandments, listen to his voice,
serve him and hold fast to him. On day number two, maybe all the sisters among us can read Ephesians 4:14.
Amen.
That we may be no longer children tossed by waves,
carried about
by every wind of teaching,
in the sleight of men, in craftiness with a
view
of error.
Okay, and we'll have the brothers read 1 Timothy 1, 3, and 4.
Even as I exalted you, to remain in Ephesus, so that you might charge certain ones not to teach different things,
different
questions, rather than God's economy, which is in faith.
Amen.
Amen.
So in Deuteronomy, and in fact in the entire Bible, there are very strict warnings concerning this matter of division and concerning apostasy or heresy. In the Old Testament, it's referred to as apostasy, and in the New Testament, it's referred to as heresy. Apostasy and heresy damages the person of Christ,
right?
Divides and damages the body of Christ, thus Amen. Frustrating the entire economy of God.
Right.
So the words of Moses in these two chapters of Deuteronomy 12 and 13 are very strong words, and they're mirrored very much by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament.
Amen.
Amen.
So in Deuteronomy 12, there's a strong word from Moses concerning, you know, a positive matter, and a strong word of warning concerning the negative matter. He speaks of the place that God has chosen, the place of oneness, the place of his name,
Amen.
The place of his habitation, and the place of his altar.
Right.
So approximately 8 times in this one chapter of chapter 12, he references these matters.
Right.
So this is a very strong word from Moses.
Amen.
So this touches the matter that God's people must always be one. You know, there is no ground given by the Lord and by Moses speaking for division. In fact, the matter of the one place, the one name, the place of his habitation, the place of his altar, these matters are for the preserving and the keeping of the oneness. So there's a wonderful footnote in Deuteronomy 12:5. I'm going to read a couple of parts from it to you.
Yeah.
The children of Israel were not allowed to worship God and enjoy the offerings they presented to God in the place of their choice. They were to worship God in the place of his choice, the place where his name, his habitation, and his altar were.
Right.
Then it goes on to talk about the unique center of worship in Jerusalem, not allowing for any preference and not allowing for any division. In the New Testament, the people of God should always be one, and no division should be among them. Too many verses, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, very strongly echo the fact that division is something hated by God. So, firstly, the matter of the one name, to be designated by any other name, is to be denominated or divided, which is spiritual fornication. In the New Testament, God's habitation, his dwelling place, is particularly located in our spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 In our meeting for the worship of God, we must exercise our spirit.
Amen.
Fourth, in our worship of God, we must have the genuine application of the cross of Christ.
Amen.
The altar. By rejecting the flesh, the self, the natural life, and worshiping God with Christ and Christ alone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the worship of God should be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the mingled spirit as the place of God's habitation, in the place where the cross is, with the enjoyment of Christ as the reality of all the offerings. And this is the oneness that God desires.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. All right. Concerning chapter 13, Moses, of course, gives a very strong warning against apostasy. Ed, of course, gave a very solid word about the principle of Antichrist. I hope one of you will feel to share a little bit about that, because I don't have time in this little opening introduction to get into it. But there is this matter of heresy or apostasy, and in principle, there's this matter of the not only the person of the lawless one or the Antichrist in Thessalonians, but also in 1 John, the matter of many Antichrists and being anti-anointing. Oh, Lord Jesus. So there are some very striking points in this message concerning how all-inclusive division is. Division is not just itself, you know, the matter of dividing God's people, evil and sinful, but along with division comes all matter of evil and sin. And of course, in this outline, we see that it includes many things: Satan, worldliness, the flesh, the self, the old man, and evil temper. All come along with division. Paul strongly deals with divisive ones in Romans 16. In Romans 14, he seems very general that we receive all the believers. We're very generous and general in that matter. But yet when it comes to the matter of divisive ones and ones causing division, there is a very strong word in Romans 16. Division mainly comes out of different teachings. You know, in the New Testament, when the church was formed and began to meet there, the church was one. The saints were one because there was only the apostles' teaching. Yeah. All that they had, their fellowship, was what they received from the apostles. And the apostles' teaching was what was taught in every church, in every locality. Even what was written to one church was shared in fellowship with the other churches. Mm-hmm. There was no other teaching. There was just the New Testament teaching and the apostles' teaching concerning God's economy And so this was a big factor for the oneness of God's people in the New Testament. But not too long after the initiation there of the church in Acts, even by the time Paul wrote, you know, the Timothy, 2 Timothy and Titus, there was already a falling away, a degradation that was taking place, mainly from the entering in of other teachings. That's why 1 Timothy 1, 3, and 4 is such a pillar, is such a strong verse in the New Testament. Paul very much touching this matter that there should be no other teaching, that we shouldn't receive and not allow, not tolerate different teaching, the teaching that is not the teaching of God's economy.
Right.
So this was a very striking matter that division includes so many evil things, and including this matter of, you know, different teaching. This is not a small matter. All the different teachings produce divisions. Teaching produces something. So the genuine teaching produces the genuine thing. So the only way to be preserved in oneness is to teach and speak the same thing concerning God's economy.
Amen. No room
for us to have our own thing, to speak our own word. We're just here to speak what we have received.
Amen.
One thing. And not only is division all-inclusive, but oneness is all-inclusive. If you didn't get a chance to read through all of those verses in Psalms, I would highly encourage you
to
read those wonderful verses in Psalms just to see all the blessings that come with the oneness, all the riches of the divine life. Oh, it's just, I don't have time. It's just so good. So oneness is very all-inclusive, including all the positive and divine riches in the divine life. Even Roman numeral 3 in the outline, B, it says, 1 and 2, it says, when the oneness is recovered, all the spiritual riches and all the positive riches are recovered with it, because they all exist in oneness.
Amen.
All the godly things and all the spiritual riches are ours on the genuine ground of oneness. The genuine oneness is not a partial oneness. It is a great, complete, comprehensive oneness, a oneness in entirety.
Amen.
Lord. And of course, then there's, you know, the matter of Psalm 133, which we were singing about earlier. So we need to practice the oneness by keeping the oneness has been given to us. We have the oneness of the Spirit, but we need to keep the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
We have no problem with oneness.
Amen.
The oneness is ours already.
Amen.
It requires our practice. In fact, the moment that we're not keeping the Spirit, that we're not filled in Spirit, then the matters of division can come in. All the elements and all the evil things can easily come in.
Amen.
So may we practice the oneness and keep the oneness.
Amen.
So ultimately in chapter 13 of Deuteronomy, Moses deals strongly with this matter of apostasy, and that's in the New Testament is heresy. We cannot have any toleration for heresy, which damages the person of Christ. There are many things that we could touch on that Brother Ed shared in his message. But we have, you know, when it touches the matter of the person of Christ, there are these essential matters of his person that are part of the faith, not our subjective faith, but part of what we believe in. And these things are, if you can understand my terminology, not negotiable. These are things that we contend for concerning Christ and his deity. There's no room for compromise. And to receive any kind of teaching that denies the deity of Christ is to receive poison, is to receive something devilish and evil.
Amen.
So there are many matters upon which we are very general in our fellowship with other believers. Mm-hmm. But there are certain matters where we are very strict. And these
are
the person and work of Christ. In fact, in this outline, in Roman numeral, numeral 5, marvelous, and under B, all those six items of the faith, those are worthy of our memorizing. A very good way to, you know, if there's a someone who has a question about what we believe, this is the faith right here, well laid out in this portion. So we must be those who pray in the Holy Spirit and keep ourselves in the love of God. So we need to be those who are very clear that there's no room for compromise concerning this matter of Christ and his person and his work concerning the faith. And we also need to be very clear about division and avoiding division very strongly. So I hope some of you will share some of the additional details, but we'll open it now for everyone speaking and prophesying in overflow.
Mm-hmm. Amen.